November the 13th, 2011. You've tuned in to the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. We did not have a morning service. Mark had a very tough night, and it kind of threw things into a quandary, threw our schedule sort of in a quandary. The title for tonight's message is When You've Said All There Is to Say. When You've Said All There Is to Say. That should be a short message, shouldn't it? Is there a number selection?
Psalm 38.
30A or 38?
Psalm
38. 30A. Okay.
Oh Lord, I will exalt you, for you have lifted me. Because you have allowed not to glory over me. Oh Lord, my God, I pleaded that you might heal and save. Lord, you from death have ransomed and kept me from the grave. His saints will praise Jehovah and thank his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, his grace a whole lifetime. For sorrow like a pilgrim may tarry all the night, but then a shout of joy comes when dawns the morning light. In prosperous days I boasted, unmoved I shall remain. O Lord, you by your favor my mountain strength maintain. For when your face was hid, I filled with trouble sore. I'll cry to you, Jehovah, the Lord I will implore. Even there in my blood prophet, when in the grave I dwell, will just proclaim your praises, your truth and glory tell. Oh, hear me now, Jehovah, be gracious unto me. To you I cry, Jehovah, oh, now my helper be. You now have turned my sorrow to dancing full of joy. You loosened all my sackcloth and girded me with joy. You sing psalms my glory and never silent be. O Lord my God, I'll thank you through all eternity.
Psalm 40F.
Yeah.
I hid not in my heart your truth and saving help. Your faithfulness I preached in the assembly great. You'll not withhold from me your tender mercies, Lord. And your unfailing love will ever keep me safe. Misfortunes beyond count have taken hold of me. My sins close in on me so that I cannot see. In greater sum are they than hairs upon my head. So my heart fails in me, my courage fades away. Come to my rescue, Lord. O Lord, make haste to help. Let all who seek my life be shamed and be confused. Let them fall back in shame who want to see my hurt. Let them be dumb who jeer. Ha ha ha. to me. Let all them who seek you be gladdened in you joy. In your salvation love, say glory to the Lord. Though I'm in want and poor, the Lord take thought of me. My help, my Savior, come. O God, do not delay.
How about 72C? Psalm 72C. On hilltops sown a little grain, like Lebanon with fruit shall bend. New life the city shall attain. She shall like grass grow and extend. She shall like grass grow and extend. Long as the sun his name shall last, it shall endure through ages all. And men shall still in him be blessed. Blessed all the nations shall him call. Blessed all the nations shall him call. Now blessed be our God alone, Jehovah God of Israel. For only he is wondrous done, his deeds in glory far excel. His deeds in glory far excel. And blessed be his glorious name, long as the ages shall endure. O'er all the earth extend his fame. Amen, amen, forevermore. Amen, amen, forevermore.
A4B. Psalm 84. No.
Advancing still from strength to strength, they go where other pilgrims trot, till each to Zion comes at length and stands before the face of God. O God of hosts, my pleading hear, O Jacob's God, to me give ear. Look thou, God, upon our shield, the face of thy anointed seek. One day within thy courts will yield more good than thousands without thee. I'd rather stand near my God's house than dwell in tents of wickedness. For God the Lord is shield and sun, the Lord will grace and glory give. No good will he withhold from one who does uprightly walk and live. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who places all his trust in thee.
73C.
Yet evermore I am with thee. Thou holdest me by my right hand, and thine thou my guide shall be. Thy counsel shall my way command, and afterward in glory bright shalt thou receive me to thy sides. For whom have I in heaven but thee? None else on earth I long to know. My flesh may faint and weary be, my heart may fail and heavy grow. With strength shall God my heart restore, he is my portion evermore. They perish that are far from thee, though in their lives they shall die. But surely it is good for me that unto God I should draw nigh. My refuge take in God the Lord, that all thy works I may record.
Okay, well, we'll end this 116a.
I love the Lord because he heard my supplicating plea. While I live, will call on him who bowed his ear to me. The cords of death on every side encompass me around. The sorrows of the grave took hold, I grief and trouble found. Then call I on Jehovah's name, and unto him bid say, deliver thou my soul, O Lord, I do thee humbly pray. The Lord is gracious and is just, our God will mercy show. The Lord preserves the meek in heart, he saved me when brought low. O thou, my soul, do thou return to thine own quiet rest, because the Lord has dealt in grace, his bounty has thee blessed. Thou hast released my soul from death, my eyes from tears kept free. From falling thou hast saved my feet, I live and walk with thee.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for this time when we can praise you and honor you for who you are. We pray that you would be with us during this time. We pray that your word would be open to us and help us to glorify you in all things we say. In Christ's name, amen. Well, today I've entitled this message, When One Has Said All There Is to Say. I think that's the way I said it, or something similar to that. When one has said all there is to say. When I can say all that I said, what's there left to say? What am I talking about? Well, there's some passages in the Bible that talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is the one who effectually calls the sinner. It's true we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's true that we are to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. To be instant in season and out of season. But there's a time when you can overstate your case, and I can overstate my case. And there's a time when silence is the best way to deliver the message of God's sovereignty. Many people are denying the sovereign hand of God, especially in salvation. And they are placing man upon the throne, the free will to determine his destiny. But we know there are many, many passages in the Bible that talk about God's election, God's effectual calling, God's predestinating hand. You know, we could go through all of those, but we're not going to. I might just allude to a couple, three of them. Isaiah 42:1 says, "Mine elect, in whom he speaks of his elect," in Isaiah 42, in Isaiah 45, in Isaiah 65. Matthew 24:22, "For the elect's sake." Luke 18:7, "Avenge his own elect." Romans 8:33, "The charge of God's elect." Um, Titus 1:1, the faith of God's elect. 2 Timothy, for the elect's sake. Romans 9:11, according to the election of grace. And so we have many, many, many passages that talk about the fact that if we have been found believers in Christ, if only because Christ has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, before we were born, before we were in our mother's womb. And so, of course, people don't like to talk about that. And so I've come to the conclusion that when you've said all there is to say, there's nothing left to say. Either God is going to call people to believe His word or He is not. Either God is going to implant faith in the heart of a person or He is not. And leave that man without excuse before Him. Sometimes those of us who proclaim to believe in the sovereignty of God don't show our belief very good by going around and constantly hounding people about not believing in His sovereignty. And I'm as guilty as anyone else, and I have had to examine myself in those regards, because yes, we are to exhort and with all long suffering and doctrine, but yet at the same time, when you've said all there is to say, there's nothing left to say. And it's hard for us as people who uphold God's sovereignty to fathom how people cannot believe, if they believe in God, how they cannot believe that He's sovereign, that He's in control of all things, that He would allow His creatures to circumvent His will. It's hard for us to understand that. I think one of the greatest testimonies we can give to those who are unbelievers is the message that once we've said all there is to say, there's nothing left to say. God's Word is replete and complete and comprehensive with who He is. And, you know, I notice that many people that are in the sovereign camp tend to spend a lot of time on that particular subject. I have over the years. Sometimes I leave other subjects undone that should be said. There's other things that need to be talked about other than God's sovereignty. You know, what other things are you talking about? Well, how about the resurrection? What about the crucifixion? What about the baptism? What about the walk of the Christian, the daily walk of the Christian? There's a lot of things that we could talk about, but one of the things that our messages should always encompass is to have in it the realization that God is who He says He is in His Word. And He has very loudly and profoundly announced and stated who He is. And so once we have stated it, and once we've said it, we say all that we can say, there's nothing really left to be said. Regardless of how people get upset over it. I got a phone call this last week from someone who had heard my message about T.D. Jakes. And they called me and asked me who I thought I was, if, you know, thinking that God had made me T.D. Jakes overseer. You know. And I said, well, you know, I could say the same thing to you. Who do you think you are, being Larry Phillips overseer? We all make discernments about things. We all make discernments about things. And this lady began and continued to tell me how much she liked Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland. Well, that's all I had to hear, believe me. But, so everything that, you know, I was looking on sermon audio, and I don't know the exact number, but somewhere around 625 messages that have been put on Weatherby House Church's website on sermon audio. And of those 625 messages, I would imagine, and I would have to go in and check, but I would imagine at least 350 of them have to do with the sovereignty of God and salvation and in all things. Election, predestination, and reprobation. So sometimes I feel like that I've said all I can say and there's nothing left to say. You know, we're not to give up. We're to keep contending for the faith, but sometimes I feel like I've closed the chapter because, you know, I can't add or take away from God's Word. It is what it is. There's a lot of people that are doing that. They're adding to and taking away and changing translations and versions and everything else. But God's Word hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha. He is the Omega. He's the first, the last. He's the beginning and the end. He said, I am that I am. Nobody can change that, even though they'd like to try. So when you said all that you can say, there's nothing left to say. And so let us be silent before the Almighty God and realize that He's the one that does the work, and not we ourselves. We are the people of His pasture. You know, so it's real easy to try to, you know, get out there and fight for God. And like Peter, you know, take out the sword and cut off the servants of the high priest's ear, you know. And Jesus goes and puts the ear right back on again. So that's the message that I had on my heart. Do we have any selections tonight?
I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, and shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. The summer sun was shining, the sweat was on his brow, his garments worn and dusty, his steps seemed very slow. But he kept pressing onward, for he was wending home, still shouting as he journeyed, deliverance will come. The songsters in the arbor that stood beside the way attracted his attention, inviting his delay. His watch were beating onward, he stopped his ears and ran, still shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. I saw him in the evening, the sun was bending low, he'd overtopped the mountain and reached the vale below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting home, and shouted aloud, Hosanna, deliverance will come. While gazing on that city, just o'er the narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, safe o'er the dashing foam, and joined him in his triumph, deliverance has come. I heard the song of triumph they sang upon the shore, Our Jesus has redeemed us to suffer evermore. Then, looking once more backward, he viewed the race he'd run and shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear.
221.
221.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ our Lord. She is his new creation by Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes from holy food. And to one hope she presses, with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation, and to all of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with a vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yes, she on earth has union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, are made well with thee.
Well, I thought I would read you, include this, my reading. I have to pull it up here out of my email, but I was sent a couple things from our dear friend Rita Beckett today, or maybe yesterday or today, I'm not sure, I'll look and see, and I saved them in my email so I could share them today on this broadcast. And I should have been a little more prepared, but I wasn't, so I'll get them up here. The first one is called The Crimes of Mercy. Never was a poor sinner more unworthy of favor from God or his people than myself. I deserve not a name and a place among the children, but am as a vile dog, and would be glad for crumbs of mercy that fall from the children's table. But such is the free grace of God toward me, through the slain lamb, that he deals with me as a child, a dear child, and feasts me as a prince with him according to royalty, the dignity of his own infinite state. His salvation in all its part were not of all of grace, it would not suit such a wretched, miserable sinner as I am. But oh, blessed be God, there is salvation enough for me in Christ to be had of the freest grace of grace, in which there is no scantiness, but an immense and eternal fullness to fill my needy soul through all time and to eternity. And glad am I, under all my sins, misery needs, to live under the reign of grace, of this grace which reigns through righteousness and the eternal life by Jesus Christ my Lord. That was written by Ann Dutton. And then I was thinking that I had another one, but I guess that must have misplaced it or something. I'll look here real quick in another place and see if I might have put it in that file. This one is called This one is called standing alone. It is human to stand alone with the crowd. It is divine to stand alone. It is manlike to follow the people, to drift with the tide. It is godlike to follow a principle, to stem the tide. It is natural to compromise conscience and follow the social and religious fashion for the sake of gain or pleasure. It is divine to sacrifice both on the altar of truth and duty. 2 Timothy 4:16, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. This was written by the battle-scarred apostle in describing his appearance before a civil court to answer for his life of believing and teaching contrary to the Roman world. God's absolute revealed truth has been out of fashion since man changed his robe of fadeless light for a garment of faded leaves. Noah built and voyaged alone. His neighbors laughed at his strangeness. And perished in style. Abraham wandered and worshipped alone. Sodomite smiled at the simple shepherd, followed the world's fashion, and fed the flames. Daniel dined and prayed alone. Elijah sacrificed and witnessed alone. Jeremiah prophesied and wept alone. Jesus loved and died alone. And of the lonely way his disciples should walk, he said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7:14. Of their treatment by the many who walk in the broad way, he said, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you." John 15:19. The redeemed children of Israel in the wilderness praised Abraham and persecuted Moses. The people of God in the days of the king praised Moses and persecuted the prophets. The court of Caiaphas, the high priest, praised the prophets and persecuted Jesus. The church of the popes praised the Savior and persecuted the saints. And multitudes now, both in the church and the world, applaud the courage and fortitude of the patriarchs and the prophets, the apostles and the martyrs, but condemn as stubbornness or foolishness the same faithfulness in standing for the truth today. Wanting today are men and women, young and old, who obey their convictions of truth and duty at the cost of fortune and friends and life itself. Jesus alone, that he might sanctify also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Father, we pray that you would take this reading and use it for your glory. Be with us this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. Mark, you want to dismiss us with prayer?
Dear Lord, we're thankful for your love in our lives. Thank you for the love you give us, your people. We pray always in your name. Amen.